and the sum of 8 days. You should circumcise with regard to your every male for them to remember. To approach throughout your dwelling places and throughout your generations. Those naturally born in the home, and also those really wanting to be acquired and included. Of every son of foreign lands, who relationally are not from your seed. We have Kirk with us.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So the insights here are sons are to be circumcised and not to daughters.
Yeah.
Is there a way to circumcise little girls?
You can mutilate them.
Yeah, you can mutilate them, but you can't circumcise them, can you?
No. This is superfluous skin.
Yeah,
on the male. It means nothing. It was planned that way, I'm sure.
Yes.
And the DNA to begin with. So, and it harms no one. It doesn't make anything worse.
Yeah, actually, taking it away is productive, and leaving it there is actually counterproductive. It was specifically designed that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's you know, our when we discharge urine, we are. Yeah. We're letting go of a byproduct that is done its thing. It's now excreting that which is no longer useful, and in many ways actually would be poison if we didn't. It would kill us if we didn't excrete it. So it is not an organ that is designed to be the cleanest things you got.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the discharge.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, having a covering over it that allows bacteria to grow and other things to that's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
No, so male circumcision is a positive thing. As a matter of fact, with male circumcision, there would be more pleasure in the sect. There's more of the part of the male genitalia that experiences pleasure exposed than there would be if you did not do it.
Mm-hmm.
With female circumcision, you destroy a girl's and future woman's ability to ever enjoy sex. So it's mutilation.
Mm-hmm.
So Yahweh only wants it to be done to men. Muslims do it to women. There's about 250 million little girls who have been sexually mutilated by their religious parents. And for the boy, it's all positive. There is no negative. And I think he established the example of son because of the word son. B-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, What does BN mean?
That's the home. That's the family home. It's the B, which is the bet.
Mm-hmm.
Or bet. And that's
followed by
what do we have? A nun. I'm sorry,
a nun.
Yeah, the inheritance, of course.
Yeah, it's a sperm.
And the sperm. Hmm?
Yeah, so the Hebrew term son is a home depicting family in a home. And a sperm, which is a new life, a child with inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference, by the way, with son and daughter is daughter has the hay at the end of it, so it would represent the
feminine form.
Yeah, the feminine form and the final individual standing up in Yahweh's name, Yahweh. The first hay represents Abraham, the second Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And the second hey is the means by which most Hebrew words become feminine, is by having the hey. So it would be ben or benah, son or daughter. It's kind of like the in English we have a woe in front of man, but there's man both in men and women, and the case with Hebrew, there's son, B-N, family, sperm, inheritance, home, and both son and daughter. It is interesting, by the way, in English, how many English words have the letter, the vowel O associated with the W. I mean, hundreds upon hundreds of English words. Oath, own, owl.
How could that be possible?
Woman, yeah. It's just amazing how many English words that there's a correlation between the O and the W. And, of course, what is the pronunciation of the W in Hebrew, the first alphabet?
It's best of all. It's the O, ow,
right.
Like
yeah.
Yahweh.
Yeah. That is correct. We even call the letter the secondary pronunciation of the W in Hebrew. The primary is the O, like in Torah. Mm-hmm. We get shalom. Both words, the O sound comes from the Hebrew W.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some Hebrew words where the W can be pronounced as a U, particularly a W.
Mm-hmm.
We do have an English letter called a W, don't we?
We do. W.
We do. Yeah,
just like two of them stuck together.
Yeah, why do you think that?
Well, coincidence.
You think there's a coincidence there, too?
No, I don't really.
Okay. So speaking of the son, which is a child with an inheritance born into the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, eight is an interesting word. Eight, it represents eternity. In fact, The Hebrew letter that conveys eight during its infancy was an infinity sign. It's where we get the numeral eight today, where we get the sign for infinity. That's how it was drawn, as a, you know, the Mobius strip where you just keep on going forever. We draw a line, and because you flip the paper over, it just continues forever. That's the sign of infinity. And eight is Yahweh symbol. Mm-hmm. Do you know a place where Yahweh uses eight to signify infinity?
Well, he uses it, let me see.
How about Sukkah?
Other than here?
How about Sukkah?
The child on the eighth day?
How about Sukkah?
Sukkah.
Sukkah. You celebrate for 7 days, and then there's
forever
an eighth
and ever,
day.
Yeah.
Then there's an eighth day of Sukkah, because what follows the Sukkah represents the last 1,000 years of life on planet Earth. Adam and Chawa were expelled from the garden 6,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, you had the flood.
Mm-hmm.
4,000 years ago, Abraham and Yahweh affirmed the covenant as the means to get back into the garden. That was 4,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago, David, pulled together all the materials and established the foundation for Yahweh's home on earth, his temple, on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. And Solomon began to construct it, but the foundation was laid exactly 967 BCE, exactly 1,000 years after that, in year 4,000, 4,000 years after the expulsion of Adam and Chawa from the garden of the enclosure of great joy, the Gan Eden. Then Yosha, which is the diminished manifestation of Yahweh, fulfilled the first four Moed Mikre, Pesach, Matzah, Bekudim, and Shavuah, 33 CE in our pagan calendars, year 4000 Yah. 1,000 years later, in keeping with the prophecy and the statement in the Torah and in the wilderness, I think it's the fifth chapter of Numbers, where Yahweh says the test for infidelity will be the poisoning of water under the temple in Jerusalem. And as the pilgrims came for the 1,000-year celebration of what they thought was the birth of their religion, the water that they drank killed them.
Pretty good
and,
metaphor.
Yeah, it's an interesting metaphor. And, of course, 2,000 years from the time that Adam and Chawa were booted out of the garden, 4,000 years from the time that the covenant was affirmed with on Mount Moriah with Abraham and Yahweh, and 2,000 years now shy of just a matter of a score of years, less than a score of years, from the time that Yahweh affirmed those first four mikra. He's going to return. That's his plan. And he's going to start year 6,000 Yah and run from 6,000 to 7,000, celebrating the Sukkah, camping out together with us, celebrating Sukkah. That'll happen in 2033. October 2nd on our pagan calendars is Yom Kippurim. It's at sunset 5 days later. This starts the celebration of Sukkah. And after the 1,000-year celebration of year 6,000 to 7,000, Yah was going to, with us as witnesses now, his family as witnesses, he's going to destroy the heavens and earth and create a new one for all time with us as witnesses. We get to witness creation.
Yeah.
We get to witness the next Big Bang, if you will.
Wow.
And that is the symbolism of the eighth day of Sukkah. Is we've gone through those six steps that lead to Yah's home, the seventh, the celebration of the Shabbat, the seventh day, the celebration of Sukkah, and then we experience eternity. So this symbol is, if you want a son to be born with an inheritance into the family, and to live forever, eight, infinity. Well, this is the way. That's what he's saying here. Now, that's only what he's saying if you care to make the connection. That's why I said, you know, where does eight also appear?
Let's see, well, at the start, from the start of life here, at the all the way to the end of it.
That's right. Now, let's just talk about one other thing. Let's make another connection. Now, you said that you thought that circumcision, that the foreskin on the male genitalia was designed that way to make circumcision a positive thing, a good thing. That we were designed that way. Yeah, I do too. Now, you think that we were designed so that the eighth day would be the opportune time to perform this act? Or I think maybe that the designer made our blood as a species
coagulate
most effectively and to fight infection most effectively during our entire existence, that occurs on the eighth day?
Well, that's a pretty good coincidence if it ain't.
It sure as heck is. We'll be back. The Hebrew word for eight, shamona, is from shemen, which speaks of olive oil. Do you think there's any symbolism that's associated with olive oil?
Well,
does it have to do with eternity?
Yeah, the set apart spirits. You've got olive oil is also used as a health restorer, as a medicine, as a
There's one more. There's one more. So yeah, olive oil is the symbol of the set apart spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. Light. Yeah, in the ancient world, the primary form of light during the nighttime was an olive oil lamp. The menorah burned olive oil. So olive oil creates a very pure light, minimal amount of smoke, maximum amount of light. And so the olive oil is a symbol of the spirit because she is light, because it has cleansing and medicinal purposes when you rub olive oil on a wound, and she is a healing spirit. But also, olive oil on food is very nourishing. It's one of the best things you can use as part of cooking and in food prep is olive oil. So it's nourishing, and we are nourished by the set apart spirit. We're cleansed by the set apart spirit, and we are enlightened by the set apart spirit, which is why olive oil is one of the symbols. So eight, which is to be made infinite, is based entirely on the Hebrew word for olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting, because is there a way to become immortal and enlightened and healed apart from the set apart spirit?
Well, Well, Nicodemus found out there was, and there was only one other way, and that was that's not a place you want to go to.
Yeah, you can be made immortal, but eternally separated from Yahweh. But the way I phrased it, actually, there is no other way, because there is a way to become immortal, but not immortal, healed, and enlightened.
No.
Olive oil does all three of those things. The set-apart spirit does all three of those things. If you want all three of those things, and the three of them is a lot better than one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, set-apart spirit is the only way, which is why eight and olive oil use the same term, and why olive oil is used as a symbol of the spirit. The letters are S-H,
mm-hmm.
M, Ma, Nun, N, and then the Hey. So what do you think S-H, the sound, the shin, the mem, the noon, and the hey convey, Mr. Artist?
Well, yes, well, you have the teeth, of course. Mm-hmm. There's nourishment is food, thought, words.
Right.
All the benefits of learning.
Nourishing words. How about that?
Nourishing words. That's very good.
Okay. Yep. The mem.
The mem, water, life, we associate it with the spirit as well.
Yep. The spirit's life-giving and cleansing, because water is the universal solvent. It's the source of life. We were designed that we can go 40, 50, 60 days without food.
Mm-hmm.
We can go a grand total of a day and a half to 2 days without water.
Yeah. Oh.
Life is not only born of water in the sense that without water there is no life, and Yahweh told us specifically that life emerged in water and came out of water. But when you're born, your mortal, your physical birth, isn't there a breaking of water? Don't you come out of water? You're born out of water. So life comes out of water. And when you wash your hands, is a bar of soap sufficient, or do you need that liquid stuff?
I'm afraid the water is vital.
Yeah, the water is vital because it's the solvent that will carry away the grime. So Yahweh uses it as the other symbol of His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nourishing words, life-giving and cleansing waters, followed by the noon.
And then, of course, you have the nun, which is, once again, inheritance and the sperm, some of the sperm. And
so you have a child being born, right?
Being born,
An inheritance, right?
That's right.
So this is the child being born of water and of spirit based upon the nourishing and life-giving words, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have so far.
That's what we have so far. And then you have the hay.
And what does that enable that child to do?
Enables them to stand up and walk, and first of all, it's acknowledging or seeing something rather brilliant or wonderful, but it's also standing up and engaged in walking, reaching up.
Okay.
All the
so the Hebrew word for eight, for infinity, is nourishing words regarding that which is life-giving and cleansing.
Cleansing.
Enable the birth of a child into a family.
Mm-hmm.
With an inheritance, enabling that child to stand up, to reach up, and to pay attention to God.
Forever.
Forever. Forever. It's a pretty good word.
Great word.
I love what the pictures paint in terms of our understanding. We'll turn to days and then to circumcision in a moment. Son, someone born into the family and inheriting all that is available in the home of 8 days, speaking of nourishing words, which provide life and cleansing to children with an inheritance so that they can stand up, reach up, and grasp the hand of God. The next word, our fourth word in this sentence, is days, yom, in the singular, yomim, and the plural. The Hebrew word days is based upon the concept of warm light. Warmth and light.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an interesting concept of warmth and light. You know, we think of days as being warmer than nights, right? And there's more light during the day. So warmth and light. How many yods, the hand of God, would you then expect to be in days plural?
Two.
Two of them. Yeah. And is there a waw in days, just like there is in the middle of Yahweh's name?
There happens to be, yes, sir.
There happens to be. That's how you get yom. The O is from the waw.
Mm-hmm,
and, of course, yeah, and that's the hand of God securing and enlarging the family home, isn't it?
Right.
The tent peg.
Yes, uh-huh.
So you got the hand of God enlarging and securing the family home in the first two letters, and then you have, in plural, the hand of God with the M, providing life and providing cleansing. The hand of God, days, hand of God, warm light. The hand of God providing the ability to enlarge and to secure the home. The hand of God providing life and cleansing. Yom Mem.
And how would you supplement? I'm sorry.
How would you like? I mean, I like the warmth of day. I like light. The more light there is, the better I see.
Mm-hmm.
The better I can observe. I've noticed as my eyes are such that even when I was younger and I had good eyesight, the brighter something was, the easier it was for me to be observant. And today now I'm dependent upon light. Light is the source of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
I can read when there is light. I can learn when there's light. I can observe and discover and know when there is light. I like being enlightened.
Right.
And light is the opposite of darkness. It eliminates any trace of my flaws.
Yeah.
And I like being warm.
Absolutely. But, you know, the nice little compliment somebody can give you about your house is how warming and inviting it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't go into dark houses. You go into warm houses and light houses.
Yeah, this house is so warm and bright.
Mm-hmm.
Warm and bright. That is the sign of an inviting home. Warm and bright. Yahweh was saying that today's is conveying that His hand, enlarging and securing the family home, His hand providing cleansing and life, brings us into a home that is warm and bright.
Yeah.
A place that is warm and bright.
Now, don't you notice how many letters so far that in two words they're all Yahweh, heavy Yahweh, and heavy set apart right. Spirit, and heavy family and home,
right.
And people standing up and inheritance. I mean, it's it's not a negative letter in the whole group of you, unless you.
Yeah, this is pretty much fun so far. Wouldn't you agree?
There's nothing not to like about these two words. The way.
Wow. All right. So we have a son of 8 days. Now we have the verb.
Mm-hmm.
You should separate his foreskin. You should circumcise him.
Which is
now
mul.
This was mul. Mul, we have two letters we've already considered, but we have a new letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do we have? Yeah, what do we gain if we're circumcised? These three letters ought to tell us what we gain.
Well, the last letter in this one, we already have the M and we have the W, the Mem and the W, which is the M.
Life-giving and cleansing, mm-hmm. representing the set-apart spirit, is the Mem.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're right, and the W is the enlargement and the security of a home, but also the
wrong
means to add to increase.
To increase.
So
both the family
by what means?
Increased.
By what
you're
means?
Increased. Or you're increased as well.
Right. By what means are we cleansed, given life, made secure, and empowered, and enriched, and increased in every way?
That of this stands for guidance, the lamb, the shepherd's staff, his hand upon the staff that leads.
Yeah, it's not just a letter that stands for guidance, but a very specific kind of
direction. Oh, it points towards, too.
Yeah, it's a letter that says, this is a shepherd who cares for the flock, who leads the flock to the most ideal places. where the flock is nourished, where the flock has plenty to drink, where the flock is safe, where the flock can enjoy themselves and protects the flock. So it's leadership. It's a shepherd's leadership.
Absolutely.
The Lamed.
Mm-hmm.
So circumcision is cleansing and life giving. That is additive, that makes you more secure and empowers and enriches you by way of the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And the shepherd's guidance and leadership. Okay.
Now just think about how that comes off in English and how it comes off in Hebrew. I mean, it's pretty cold in the yeah. English, but in the Hebrew, it's like you'd be running to the door. Please help me.
Yeah, I don't think there's any connotation with what the word really means in English. And in Hebrew, mul means to separate. Is there a separation aspect of God's family from the family of man?
Well, you're separating from the useless, you know, right. Getting rid of the useless part.
Is there a Hebrew word that is used in reference to those things that God cares about that
Kodesh.
Conveys the idea of set apart and separate?
Mm-hmm.
Kodesh. In fact, the spirit Kodesh?
Ruach Kodesh.
Set apart. Separating. The Moed Mikre, each of the seven, the seven invitations to meet with God, are they Kodesh? Set apart?
Yes, separate? Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Shabbat, the seventh day, Yahweh's plan, 6 + 1, is the one that's part of the seven, is it Kodesh?
Absolutely.
Is Yahweh's covenant Kodesh?
Absolutely.
Is Yahweh's name Kodesh?
Yes.
Is the first step towards the covenant and to knowing Yahweh to set yourself apart, separating yourself from the institutions of man.
From
Babylon. Yeah. So everything is important to God. Everything. Including the path to Him. Including His name. Including his formula, everything. Does he say his Torah even is Kodesh, set apart?
Yes.
Everything is separating. So this word, circumcised, speaks of separation, of setting apart that which is useless and counterproductive regarding the part of the human anatomy that is used to conceive new life in a family and to marriage. Wow. Father and mother. Yes. Yes, a big wow. You know, when you consider the word from the proper perspective, you observe it from the proper perspective, it conveys the whole notion of covenant. The covenant is a family. Children are born into that family, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Our Heavenly Father and Spiritual Mother both contribute to us as children being born into this family. You know, when you're using that thing that is circumcised, you're wielding it. Isn't that the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
What better place to put the mark, the sign of this, the covenant, than on the very thing that transitions a husband and wife into a mother and father and two people into a family?
Yeah, well, you won't miss it there.
You won't miss it there, right. And it's all about separation. When Yahweh speaks of establishing the covenant, does he use the Hebrew word to establish? Bana would be the Hebrew word for establish. It means to build. Does he use the Hebrew word for bana to build or establish? Or does he use a different Hebrew word to when he's talking about the formation of his covenant?
I'm not sure. I would. He certainly could use bana, couldn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't.
And what did he use?
Karat.
Oh, karat, cross.
You know what karat means?
Yeah, karat, to cut, separate.
Cut, yeah, to cut, to separate. The covenant is set apart.
Mm-hmm.
So he uses the very term on the establishment of the covenant that he uses as the sign of the covenant, to cut and to separate. And that's the whole idea. Yahweh drew a line in the sand. He said, you know, this is my family. If you want to be part of my family, you have to disassociate from patriotic families, from religious families, from political families. If you from Babel families, from confusion. If you want to separate yourself from that, you can be separated unto me or separated from me. It's karat. He cut.
What a beautiful language.
It is really. Yes, and wielded with great precision.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to the thing that Yosha said in the Sermon on the Mount when he was talking about that the fact that he did not come to annul the Torah or do away with it in any way, but instead to fulfill it, that his next statement was about the fact that these letters, the Yod, which is the hand of God, and the tittles, which are the strokes that comprise the pictures that we're conveying on all of these letters, and the concepts that these letters convey, that they shall exist and be in full effect, and none of them shall be nullified, so long as the heavens and earth exist. He told us to look at them.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're just looking at the letters.
And you can't see it in the modern Hebrew letters.
No, you can't see any of this.
You really can't. I mean, they're just little boxy, calligraphic nothingness. I mean, that's...
Right. Yeah, if you're going to do what we're doing here...
You have to look at the old language.
What we, my guess is you do the same thing that I do. The more I do it, I look at the Hebrew letter and say, all right, that is drawn this way by God. The Torah was written with this pictographic alphabet that you, even the illiterate, were literate.
Right.
A babe can understand these pictures. We're only 5 words into this statement. Just 5.
Mm-hmm.
And a son of 8, so an, first word, son, of 8, third word, days, fourth word, circumcise as a verb, to set apart, is the fifth word. It was scribed in the Niphil imperfect. The Niphil stem designates a genuine relationship where there is a passive benefit to the person being spoken to. So that by parents circumcising your son on the eighth day, what Yahweh says is that you as the parents, for making that decision and doing that for your son, is going to bring benefit to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time you see that, you're going to be reminded to raise them to become God's child. And, you know, if I am, as parents, one of the things we're always fearful of is that some great tragedy would strike the child and take their life. But if your child is born into the covenant, if you remember to teach them about Yahweh and his covenant, and they're born into the covenant, can anyone take the life of your child?
Not their eternal life.
No, and the only which one matters?
They do the other, the one, the eternal one, of course.
Yeah, of course. And the fact it's written in the imperfect doesn't mean the word is flawed. It means that the word is eternal.
Right.
There's an eternal benefit to us as parents when we raise our children to be part of God's family. What do you think the eternal benefit? I mean, this is a real tough one, Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the eternal benefit is to a mother and father if they raise their child to be a member of Yahweh's family?
They will all be together.
Yeah, you got it. They all receive the benefits of the covenant, and they're all together for eternity. That's what he meant when he described it in the Niphil stem.
Ongoing.
Ongoing, and then wrote it in the imperfect conjugation. It's a great language, isn't it? I don't see that as grammar. I just see that as affirming and relational and instructive.
No, I think so. I think it totally.
Yeah.
It just reinforces everything. So that's the reason I look at it. So I can say, oh yeah, that's okay. Even more, another layer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the things just as a brief interlude here, a digression, is that one of the things that we encourage everybody to do, you know, we've provided these translations in introtogod.org and in yada yada, and so there's many thousands of pages of translations and insights related to the translation. The first thing we ask everybody regarding these translations, we stay right in the beginning. Craig is infallible. You really ought to trust everything he says, right? Just believe whatever. No, we don't say that, do we?
No.
We shouldn't.
But there's it takes some work, but I mean, I like what James always likes to say. You know, if you only got 45 minutes three times a week, then spend 45 minutes three times a week eventually.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Because what we say is that that I have no qualifications that would impress anybody, and that I'm flawed, and I have made mistakes, and I will continue to make mistakes, not purposely. And every time I make a mistake, that I learn about the mistake, I go back and correct it.
Mm-hmm.
But that what we encourage is enjoy what Kirk is doing here. Look at the words. Verify them for yourself, because it's not just that you will have greater confirmation that what God is communicating is valid. But the whole process of discovery is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a benefit associated with it.
Yeah.
The most important benefit in the universe.
Yeah, you're doing what he asked you to do. To associate.
And, you know, there's something, Kirk, very different. You teach art.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to explain how you teach art to me, I would learn, you know, about art. But I wouldn't become an artist.
No, it's the doing. No. The doing is where you
it's
learn.
It's the doing. Yeah, the doing is where it becomes yours. Where it's in a, you know, when Yahweh says, I'm going to write my Torah inside of you on Yom Kippurim in year 6000, yeah? We are really painting that canvas even now.
Mm-hmm.
We're incorporating his jots and tittles right into our character.
Very being, yeah.
Yeah. The next two words, by the way, are important. The best part of this is to come, and I hope that you and Scott during my travel days will be able to expand on this, because the best part of it is really those that for whom this is done, both those really wanting to be acquired into the family. But what we have right now, and we'll have to postpone this to another day, is Lakol Zakar. And then Lador. La means not only to approach, but it speaks to the shepherd.
Yes, the shepherd's staff.
The shepherd's leadership. Who do you think the shepherd is?
I think it's Yahweh.
I think so, too.
Just a wild guess.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Kirk. I've enjoyed this.
Okay, buddy.